You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. It's time for us to catch up with the blind adventurer Dean Dunbar, who recently became the first registered blind person to become the Scottish National Paddleboard Champion. He's here today to update us on his latest sporty endeavours and upcoming events. But first, we'll start off with a huge congratulations, Dean.
Thanks, Amelia. It was great fun. To be honest, I mean, I kind of won it by default. There was only two of us who were doing the prone paddleboarding race. There was about a dozen other stand-up paddleboarders that we had to kind of get ourselves around. But the other guy, James, who is normally a much better paddler than me, that particular day he had a virus and he got halfway around and basically had to pull out. So it was by default that I won, sadly, but it was probably the only way I could have won against him because he is a real paddling machine. The whole thing with the race was it was to find the Scottish National Champion. So I've been doing lots of races around the country as part of GB Stop, which have a prone paddleboard category within them. But this was the nationals for whoever wins this was to then go through to the World Championships. So as you say, I became the first, you know, I'm the first registered blind person to represent their country at this sort of level of prone paddleboarding. Unfortunately, though, I'm supposed to be going off in September to compete in the World Championships, but the overall organisation that runs the whole thing, the rules as they stand at the moment won't allow me to enter, as they don't allow electronic or mechanical devices on the boards, and I rely on someone to guide me. You know, on that race, it was a case of Rona guided me from the shore using a pair of binoculars and a walkie-talkie. So she was able to tell me, you know, turn 1 o'clock, go to 11 o'clock, turn to 3 o'clock because the boy's on your right-hand side. So she was guiding me that way. But unfortunately, the World Championships, they're saying we're not allowed to do that. You know, the options are either I go off there and, you know, cause utter carnage by paddling into people that I can't see, or they send out the search and rescue an hour later saying blind paddleboarder last seen heading in that direction. So at the moment things aren't looking good, but there's some people within the SUP community and the paddleboard community who are now trying to put some stuff together to maybe have a word with ISA and see if we can maybe force their hand on this one. We're suggesting all sorts of ideas. Obviously, another one that I've done in the past has had a paddler come alongside me or behind me to guide me. But again, we're not sure if that's going to be allowed. So we're trying different avenues, and fingers crossed something will happen in the next month or two so I can go off and represent Scotland in the World Championships.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got a brand new prone board as well, helping you speed along. Can you tell us a bit about it and how it's different?
It's great. I've got a new board. It's by a company called Hyper, H-Y-P-R, and they're sea-designed boards. They're made out in Hawaii, and it just so happened I found a guy in Wales who had a couple, and one of those was for sale. So we went down to see him, had a wee trial with it, and it's a wonderful board. It keeps a good straight line, I think. I'm told it's got a good straight line, but obviously I've no idea myself. But yes, I've been out for a few paddles on it, and it's great to be able to get up on my knees and properly prone paddle. So thoroughly enjoying that one, and we're racing. Hopefully that's going to be an advantage, because the stronger position when you're prone paddle boarding is the kneeling one as opposed to the lying down one. And for most of the races I've done in the past, I've only been able to do the lying down position. So fingers crossed for the new board. Now I'm up on my knees, I can be stronger and maybe go a bit faster and keep up with everyone else.
And alongside prone boarding, you've also been cycling and had a few mishaps that you wrote about on your blog. Can you tell us more about that?
So yeah, we were down south. We've been down in Devon, and on the way back, we came up to do this bike ride. We've been doing bits of it. It's called the Great North Trail, and it starts in the Peak District and it finishes in the north of Scotland, and it's about 825 miles. So Rona and I, and sometimes with Molly, my guide dog, we'll take out little chunks of it, you know, take a little nibble here and there and do 5 miles, 10 miles in different parts. So on the way back from Devon, we popped into a place called Kirby Stephen, which is in Cumbria, and the Great North Trail travels through there. So we decided we'd stay there for a couple of days and take a little couple of bites out of the route. And unfortunately, things didn't go quite to plan. With day one, we had problems with the map that we had. We use this thing, OSM, and I say we use it, but Rona uses it, and it's very good for the Great North Trail normally, but for some reason in Kirby Stephen, it just didn't seem to want to work. So we ended up in fields full of cows, we ended up in long grass and nettles up to our waist, climbing over stiles, finding our way through fences and all sorts to try and find this route. So that was an interesting first day. And then on the second day, we had more problems. The GoPro failed to take any photographs. We then Rona had a funny noise coming from the back of her bike, couldn't work out what it was. When she stopped and looked, she realised that her inner tube was now coming through her outer tube, I guess is what you'd class it, the outer tyre. It ballooned right up and was swelling out of there. So it was a case of doing a bit of a blue Peter job with some paracord and some duct tape. An interesting couple of days. We called it the curse of Kirby Stephen. We seemed to be getting hit every time we went out. But at the end of the day, it's all good fun. And, you know, no one was hurt. The bike was a little bit worse for wear. But apart from that, we had a great time. So all good.
And you've also been bringing your guide dog Molly along on some of the cycle rides. How did that begin and how did you kind of train her to follow along with you both?
She's still getting used to coming out on the bike. Obviously, the pace that we set is slightly faster than her walking pace. Not a great deal. She's the one that sets the pace and we just make sure that we stick behind her. So we're normally doing maybe about 6 kilometres an hour. We'll take her out and I think the furthest she's ever done has been about 15 to 16 kilometres in total. But generally, when we're out doing the Great North Trail, we'll try and do 5 or 6 kilometres in one direction and then turn around and come back. But at the end of the day, it's all down to what Molly's doing. If she's, you know, we get to 2 kilometres and she's had enough, then that's what we do. We turn around and take her back. You know, she leads the way on that. I have to give her a yellow vest that she wears because I found that when she was wearing the black one in the shadows and things like that, I just can't see her as a black dog. Whereas with a yellow vest, I now can see her and, you know, there's less chance of us running into each other. But she seems to enjoy it. She really enjoys it. You know, she's out and about and she's getting fresh air and she's, you know, if there's any water, we'll always stop by water or streams and get her just to pop in, even if it's just for her to have a wee wade about. You know, she doesn't have to have a drink, but just getting her to cool down whenever possible. But yeah, we tend to take her out first, get her tired, get her back to the van, leave her with a Kong, and then Rona and I will head off and do a bigger bike ride on our own. So that's kind of how it all works when Molly's involved.
Yeah, and it's so nice that you, Molly and Rona all get to get some exercise together and hang out.
Exactly. There's three of us in this team, you know, so we wanted to be involved in as many things as we can. And biking, she seems to have taken to it. You know, we started off doing that just maybe about a year and a half ago, slowly building up from short bike rides of, you know, just a few, you know, 2 or 3 kilometres and building up and building up. And as I say, you know, occasionally she'll come out and she'll do as much as, you know, 15 or 16 kilometres. But, you know, everything's set around her. And as long as she's having fun, you know, we're enjoying ourselves too.
And do you have any more cycle rides or any more prone boarding planned for the summer?
Yeah, I've got 3 big races on, so I'm really looking forward to that. They're not necessarily, you know, adding up to help me to get to Copenhagen or anything like that. They're just 3 good fun events. The first one is a race out on the Isle of Arran, where we will go out and paddle around the Holy Isle and back in, which is a total distance of about 11 kilometres. I did that several years ago on my stand-up paddle board on my own and got chased by a submarine at one point in some very choppy weather. But it was great fun, so I'm looking forward to going back and doing that one on a prone board. Then the following week, I think it is, we're then off to the Moray Firth, so that's up in Invernessshire. We'll do it's about a 20-kilometre paddle there with a bunch of kayakers, the Sea Kayak Challenge there. So that's always a good one. I've been doing that for the last 2 or 3 years. And then after that, we're off to Loch Lomond for just a 10K paddle there in a GB SUP race. So that'll be the majority of paddlers will be on stand-up paddle boards. And there will probably be 2, maybe 3, or even 4 of us on prone paddle boards. So I'm looking forward to that one as well. So 3 good races in July. Hopefully they'll keep me fit for anything that's coming up in the future.
And where can people read your blog posts and keep up to date with all of your adventures and competitions?
So my main point would be my website, which is extremedreams.co.uk, or you can find me on Facebook under Dean Dunbar, Blind and Dangerous.
Well, thank you so much, Dean Dunbar, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Amelia. It's been lovely. Cheers.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.